This is DrAlvin.com, the business of wisdom, where world leaders and thinkers do come to chat. We're very fortunate to have one of the best-selling authors, Meadow Lynn. The name of the book is The Mystic Cookbook. Tap into the magic that can transform food from nutrition to nirvana. Learn to make meals that heal, inspire, enlighten, and transport. Give me a little idea of your background along with your mother's.
Well, my mom has been teaching for about 40-some years. I can't even quite count as high, I think, as she's been teaching, but she's been in the mind-body-spirit realm for many years, teaching on lots of different topics. And for about 18 years, since I was 18, I've been cooking for her retreat. She does a lot of certification courses, so we've teamed up to blend her passion in spirituality and helping people reach their fullest potential with my passion for food, to find ways that food is much more than simple nourishment. It's more than just calories and carbohydrates and micronutrients, but it can actually feed our mind, body, and soul and lighten our spirit, and can be fun too.
So when did you discover your calling? We know of your mother's calling. So when did you discover that this is something I want to do? You know, sometimes we're, you know, forced. I make my daughters do things, but at the point in time, they have to choose their own path. When did you know that this was your path as well?
You know, that's a great question, because actually, just as you probably know with kids of your own, it took me a while to come to this place. For years, I wanted to be totally different from my mom and do something very different. I was a French teacher for 8 years, so I taught in schools in different places in the country. I even taught French in Switzerland, of all places. But I've always been passionate about food and eating, and in the summers, I've always cooked for my mom's retreats, and I've always been a part of it. So it's been in probably the past 3 or 4 years that I've really started to see in my cooking and with these retreats the deep level of transformation that people can have when they're eating in a way that is joyous and fun and made into a celebration, and they're really honoring themselves and the food. And that has really deepened my appreciation. But really, since the time I could walk, I've been passionate about food in all its permutations and how it can really transform and alter our lives. Both, you know, on a physical level, of course, because we need it for sustenance, but also on a spiritual and mental level, too.
Does the color of the food affect our consciousness?
You know, it does. And it's amazing on all different levels. You can look at it from a purely visual point of view. The color really makes a difference in how we perceive the food, how it tastes. I mean, think about, what if watermelon was gray? We wouldn't love it nearly as much as we do. But then also, you can look at it from a much more spiritual perspective. Think of the way the colors can, you know, if you know about the chakra system, the colors correspond to the different frequencies of the colors that represent our different chakras, and even our associations with colors. Often green is thought of as the color of abundance, because green is everywhere in nature. We see it everywhere. It's one of the most abundant colors. So green, if you're wanting to create a meal that feels really abundant, and even to create that metaphor for abundance in your life, you can use lots of green foods. Plus, green's pretty healthy, so it's heart healthy as well, which also, if you're thinking about the chakras, even corresponds to the heart chakra. So in so many ways, color is important. And for that reason, I plant all different colored vegetables in my garden. I got pink-fleshed potatoes, purple-fleshed potatoes. I have 3 little chickens. They're mostly pets, but they're eggs. They lay blue, green, and peach-colored eggs. They don't taste any different, but I just think it makes it so much more fun when you add lots of color and vibrancy to all aspects of your life, but especially those that you intake internally.
Why is it important to understand and know diversity in terms of traditions from various cultures like Mexico, Italy, Vietnam, North Africa, and Italy? How does that help you with your eating?
Well, you know, food is the one thing that connects everybody across the planet. Every one of us has to eat, and most of us eat at least 3 times a day. It's something that we all do. And by learning more about the cultures, the foods of other countries, it connects us on a deeper level to people around the world. And those particular countries are featured in the book, because I especially like those cuisines, and those are some of my favorite recipes. But throughout any nation, any cuisine, there is so much to learn about a group of people and even individuals, how people cook in their own home, and it's a way to connect us all. And to you can travel the world from your own dining table, which I think is pretty nifty, and we mentioned that in the book. We we talk about creating these legendary feasts where you can heighten all of your senses, even your sixth sense, by creating these meals that have the flavors, the colors, the sounds, the smells, the feelings of these different places around the world, and you actually can transport yourself across the globe, across time, throughout history, just from sitting at your table and recreating a meal from a different place and a different time. And it can be pretty fun, pretty delicious, and even transformative.
Many cultures know the power of fasting, so they know that spiritual breakthroughs and traditions can take place and happen because of fasting. Can having food, eating food, create spiritual breakthroughs?
You know, it can. And I have fasted at times in my life. It is, to be honest, it's not my favorite thing, fasting, because I love food too much. And I have seen how when you are fasting, it does relieve your mind to be able to focus on other aspects, especially that of spirituality. But the most remarkable thing is, my mom talks about this a lot because she has suffered a lot in her life. She had a really terrible childhood. And through it, she has come through to the other side and has learned a lot from and has been able to transform that into her work. But through that, she's also learned that you don't have to suffer to grow. And that has, I am fortunate to be the recipient of that, having had a wonderful childhood, partially probably in result of her terrible childhood, and that by enjoying your meals and by eating food in a mindful way, you actually can do, as you said in our intro, as we've said, go from a simple nourishment to nirvana. It doesn't have to be arduous and hard. The way that you approach your meal, you can infuse it with spirit. Grace and prayers are said throughout the world in all different religions and cultures, and it's because it works. So by doing that, infusing that spirit into your food, that makes a difference too, and that can also lead to spiritual breakthrough, spiritual enlightenment, or even just understanding.
Now, does food have vibration? And also, besides that, can the preparation and eating of food increase that vibration?
It can. There, I'm not going to get this quotation quite right, but Einstein said that what we believe as what we believe to be matter, we were all wrong, that it's not actually matter, it's actually energy. And as I said, I got that all wrong, but you get the idea there, that food is made up of energy. It is this, everything in this world that we think of as solid is actually made up of these swirling kind of life force energies, and especially food, because it's living, especially, you know, I'm looking out the window at my garden right now, and it's mostly dried up from the cold weather, but I see some tomatoes on the vine, and that, you know, it's alive right there on the vine. You pick that, it's full of that life force energy, and so you're intaking that into your body. But also, we have vibration and frequency within us, and so, as I mentioned, when you say grace, when you say a prayer, or you hold your hands just over your meal or under it, you can actually infuse that vibration, that energy into your food. Or when you're cooking, it's really fun. I like to take the wooden spoons I'm stirring with and pretend they're microphones, you know, pretend the contents of the refrigerator, like all the people at Madison Square Garden there to listen to me. And I'll serenade those soups and stews and have a rockin' good time. And that actually can be tasted in the food. I know it seems crazy, but that infuses the food and increases its energy and vibration. So, you know, obviously getting a tomato from a fresh pick from a garden is much more fresh, full of that vitality and life force. But even if you get one from your local mini mart and it's the only thing available, there are still things that you can do to infuse it with more energy, vibration, frequency, and just love and goodness.
So can I infuse my meals for love? Can I?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of different ways to answer that question. You know, throughout time, there's the idea of aphrodisiacs. And honestly, I don't believe in the physical properties necessarily of aphrodisiacs. Yes, you know, in cayenne, they say the capsaicin actually works as such. But you'd probably have to eat it in such a high quantity that you'd probably be spitting fire before you got the love aspects. But the powerful thing about aphrodisiacs, or anything that we choose for love, is that the power of belief, if there's a collective belief that something has love properties, that will increase its vibrancy in that arena. Additionally, you can create a meal where you set that intention for love, where as you're cooking, as you stir or saute or toss or whatever you're doing, cut in the kitchen, every action you're doing, you're affirming, love is flowing into my life. My heart is opening. You could use foods that represent love to you. For some, that's chocolate, but maybe for somebody else, it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, something that your mother made for you, or maybe something that your first love, you know, maybe it was roast chicken, and the first woman you ever fell in love with made you roast chicken. Whatever it is that represents love, you could cook that meal. And then set the table in ways that represent love. For some people, that's pink and red. Other people, it might ever feels loving and nurturing and whatever kind of love. There's like spicy, you know, sensual, passionate love, but there's also motherly love or friendship love. So whatever feeling you want, you create that. You create the affirmations, and you set the table, you set the meal with that intention, and believe it or not, you can pull more love into your life simply by cooking and eating with intention.
You mentioned cayenne peppers, and your book deals quite a bit with spices. How can spice help me out as well?
Well, you know, the great thing about spice, and we talk about the secret alchemy of spice in the book, is that there's a history of spices having mystical powers. Back in the Middle Ages, spice was how you determined how wealthy you were. You might have heard the expression of, what is it, a pepper rent? Oh, goodness, now I can't get the wording right. But rent was often paid in pepper, black pepper. And the way that people showed how important they were was by how much spice they had on their table, because spice was exorbitantly expensive. And part of this allure of spice was that it came from the East, and they believed that the promised land was in the East. So they actually thought that this spice had come directly from paradise. So it was a way to show wealth and your connection to the divine. And so throughout history, there's been amazing, amazing history of spices having these amazing, these wonderful powers. Even, you know, the Black Plague, there was the thieves, there's necklaces that they wore of a mixture of different spices that had alchemy in it that supposedly kept the thieves from getting the Black Plague. And on a less dark side, there's holy basil, Tulsi tea, which to this day from India is considered one of the most powerful and potent spices. So when you're cooking, you can cook with the intention of those spices creating whatever mystical powers you want. And just as I said with cooking the meal for love, you can do so with that intention. Another thing, a spice holds memory for us. Our smell is so closely connected to the memory part of our brain that, for instance, if you smell cinnamon, it might instantly transport you back to a time in your childhood when your grandmother baked you apple pie. And so you can assign different qualities to spices and use those memories to your advantage when you're cooking. And every time you need to feel nurtured, you think of your grandmother's pie and you use cinnamon. Or maybe she was mean old lady, you know? So maybe you have different associations with that cinnamon. You'll want to create new ones so that you're not always thinking of your mean old gran when you're cooking. But spice is a great way to, one, flavor your meals, but also increase the that mystic quality in your food as well.
This particular interview will be featured at dralvin.com, the business of wisdom, where world leaders and thinkers do come to chat. I discover wisdom one brilliant mind at a time. This also will be featured at dralvin.com on Facebook. And also, you can join me on Twitter at Dr. Alvin Jones. For a person to get in contact with you or your mother, how can they do so?
We have a special website for the cookbook. It's called themysticcookbook.com, and we've got recipes there and tips and all sorts of great stuff. So that's themysticcookbook.com, and then we each also have our own individual websites. That's meadowlynn.com and deniselynn.com, and Lynn is spelled L-I-N-N.
Well, thank you so very much. I appreciate you sharing this information, and you continue to have a remarkable and amazing day, okay?
Thank you so much, Dr. Alvin. It's been a joy.